Good afternoon. It is Veterans Day, Wednesday, November 11th, 2020, and this is Ozarks at Large on 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. On today's show, we learn more about assistance available for Arkansas renters who are challenged by the continuing pandemic. We also hear the latest from Governor Asa Hutchinson as the COVID-19 numbers continue to break records in Arkansas. And in our second half hour, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda talks with the Fort Smith-based band The Crumbs about their latest music. Arkansas's cases of COVID-19 continue at a record pace. At his weekly COVID-19 briefing yesterday, Governor Asa Hutchinson prefaced the latest numbers by telling reporters there was very little good news, and the latest data suggests a warning for the future. The Arkansas Department of Health is reporting 975 new confirmed cases and 449 probable cases. Hospitalizations are up by 24 to bring the current total of Arkansans in hospitals because of the virus to 810. That's a new high. There are more than 10,000 active cases. One important number is down from previous days, though, deaths. There were 4 confirmed and probable deaths reported in the most recent 24-hour monitoring period. Governor Hutchinson tempered that statistic, too, though, saying deaths are a lagging indicator and the rising case numbers would suggest a rise in deaths in the near future. We'll have more from yesterday's briefing in just a moment on our show. The superintendent of Fort Smith Schools will be leaving for a new job in Texas beginning early next year. Talk Business and Politics reports Doug Brubaker will begin his new job as the superintendent of the Texarkana, Texas Independent School District on January 4th. Brubaker has been superintendent in Fort Smith since January 2017. Arkansas's head football coach, Sam Pittman, will not travel with the team for Saturday's football game against Florida after a second test confirmed his positive COVID-19 diagnosis. He first tested positive as part of a routine testing schedule for his team on Sunday. He is asymptomatic and is isolating at his home. And the 6th annual Aquaterra Festival in Eureka Springs takes place this year via live virtual sessions beginning tonight at 7 and continuing through Friday evening. The collaborative educational festival brings people together to celebrate and learn about water quality and ecological living. Participants who sign up for tickets to the Aquaterra Festival at Eventbrite will be provided login data and a schedule of events. Attendance is by donation. This is Ozarks at Large, and this is from the first moments of yesterday's weekly briefing with Governor Asa Hutchinson regarding COVID-19.
Let me start off by saying there's not very little good news in today's numbers.
The governor about to announce another day with more than 1,400 combined confirmed and probable new cases of the virus also told reporters and residents listening and watching statewide that the trend for Arkansas is not good and there is much work to do as we move further into autumn and closer to the holidays. Using his now familiar slides to explain the state's virus numbers, he cautioned that numbers of cases will probably continue to rise in the immediate future.
This is a little bit of a warning for the future because I know this is hard to see, but on the last column there, you can see our testing is not as high as it, I mean, it's high, but if we tested more, the cases very likely would have been more as well. And so I expect to be more tests come in over the next 24 hours as the weekend activity and those tests start coming in from that.
And those cases the governor expects to be confirmed in the near future are likely rooted in the near past of Halloween and other gatherings. Dr. Jose Romero, the state's Secretary of Health, says Halloween should serve as a lesson for other holidays coming up, ones with more opportunities for indoor gatherings.
The activities that we're going, have gone from that, and this is a harbinger is something that we may see even more significantly as we enter into Thanksgiving and the Christmas and New Year holidays. So we are concerned about this.
He also stresses against taking loved ones who live in assisted living facilities out of those living situations for holiday gatherings. He says the virus is too persistent, too prevalent, and too dangerous for people in the most vulnerable demographics when it comes to COVID-19.
Roughly speaking, there is a 3% increased chance that you could become infected and die. We have seen an increase in the number of deaths since the liberalization of the visitor restrictions in nursing homes, and we're concerned that this is going to continue. So at this time, I, as Secretary of Health, am not recommending that this be done for the upcoming holidays.
Johnny Key, Arkansas's Secretary of Education, says last week 21 schools in Arkansas modified their learning situations because of positive cases, an increase from just 6 modifications the week before. He says during the first 2 days of this week, there have already been more than a dozen such modifications. He also says a rumor that has spread during the last week about schools going all virtual after Thanksgiving is just that, a rumor. He says the Department of Education has made no such recommendation to the governor. The governor says houses of worship need to have parishioners wear masks at all times, except for those medically exempt. And he warns that unmasked singing of hymns is a primary driver of transmission in places of worship. As for any new approaches to battling the spread, the governor says the state is increasing messaging. But for now, he is primarily staying with his mantra from the past several months: wear a mask, stay socially distant, and wash your hands frequently. The Tuesday report from the Arkansas Department of Health included 20 counties with more than 20 new cases and 3 counties, including Washington and Benton, with more than 100 new cases. Since the pandemic began, there have been more than 2,100 confirmed and probable deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas, more than 2/3 of those deaths in people 65 and over. But the governor reminds the spread of the disease is among all age groups.
Young people, you can get it and you don't know you have it. You're asymptomatic. You think life is normal and you could be giving that to an elderly person that you love very much.
You can see the entire briefing at the governor's YouTube page. Arkansans who are behind on their rent due to the pandemic can now apply for assistance from the state. State Representative Andrew Collins, who is one of the legislators who worked on the funding, says the Fresh Start Housing Stabilization Program website started taking applications this week.
So the Arkansas Fresh Start Program is an initiative that's designed to help renters who are behind on their rent and also help landlords who have not been getting income from those renters. It's a $10 million program, and it's funded with federal stimulus funds that the state has allocated. The process works by a renter applying, and the funds up to 2.5 months are paid directly to the landlord.
Representative Collins says many Arkansans have told him it has been difficult to navigate the different networks of resources available for assistance, so it was important to have a central location for the Fresh Start program. Renters can now go to arfreshstart.com to get more information and to apply for funding.
To do so, you'll just need to provide your identification, a verification that you're behind on your rent, a copy of your lease, some proof of your income, because there are income limits up on the high end, some demographic information, and then a signed form that is the CDC eviction moratorium form that is just a short document saying that coronavirus has impacted your ability to pay rent. And the other component to the application is that the landlord has to agree to accept your rent from the program, and also not evict you during the moratorium, as is the law for non-payment.
The landlord also has to agree to waive any late fees that have accrued on the rent that hasn't been paid. The application and funds will then be handled by various community action agencies that serve one or more counties across the state. Representative Collins says renters who are more than 2.5 months behind on rent will have to make up the difference before they can receive any state funds.
What this program doesn't do is if you're way behind on your rent, more than 2.5 months and you have no possibility of coming up with that extra money, this is not the program for you, because this is designed to stabilize housing situations. And if you can't get stabilized, then it's not really, this is not this program. But I would suggest if there's any possibility of finding that additional funds, finding those additional funds and getting that additional money, it's something that, you know, you should go ahead and pursue and at least learn more at the website.
Representative Collins also notes the Fresh Start program does have some income requirements, but legislators wanted to make it accessible to as many people as possible.
This is a program that is designed for low-income people, but also for moderate-income people. If you have an income that is up to 80% of the area median income, which, depending on where you are, could be around $40,000 or so for a family of three, this is a program that you can take advantage of, and you should take advantage of, because there are working families who have people bringing in money who are still really struggling during this pandemic. And so coronavirus doesn't just hit people who are at the margins. Coronavirus is hitting people all over the income spectrum.
He says a lot of people are still trying to catch up from where the state was 6 months ago, while many sectors of the economy are still far from recovered. He urges renters to apply as soon as possible, as it's unclear if more assistance will be available in the future.
$10 million seems like a lot of money, and in some ways it is. But I think January 1st, there's an expectation that there may be a major eviction crisis when a lot of rent is coming due, and also landlords are able to evict again. Currently, there are restrictions on their ability to evict for non-payment. And so I do suggest, if you're in a situation where you need help, you're behind, apply as soon as you can, because this money could go very quickly.
And again, the website to apply for that financial assistance is arfreshstart.com. And we do want to note, while the CDC has issued an eviction moratorium for non-payment of rent, the moratorium is not automatic, and renters who can't pay their rent need to fill out a CDC declaration form that needs to be submitted to the landlord. The moratorium also ends on December 31st. You can find that declaration form on the AR Fresh Start website.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
The number of COVID-19 patients in hospitals in Washington and Benton counties continuing to increase. A statement this morning from Northwest Arkansas Hospitals reports a 9% increase in COVID-19 units in the two counties during the last 24 hours. There are now 86 patients in COVID units in those hospitals. The pandemic high in Northwest Arkansas, recorded in July, is 113 patients. And yesterday's new case totals in Benton and Washington counties represent a 36% increase since just Friday. The United States Marshals Museum in Fort Smith has passed $1 million raised during the pandemic. A press release from the museum this morning reports an anonymous matching gift of $500,000 has indeed been matched and exceeded. The museum's organizers hope there will be a late 2021 soft opening and a grand opening in 2022. An end-of-year giving campaign continues to run through December in an effort to raise more of the $12.8 million left in the museum's capital campaign. And the unprecedented continues in 2020. NPR will continue to report on the transition into the White House for President-elect Joe Biden. The latest can be heard tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 on Morning Edition. Also tomorrow morning, as the pandemic moves toward a ninth month, how couples at home together are learning to deal with a continued new lifestyle. Morning Edition, including Antoinette Grajeda's newscast at 5:30 and 7:30, each weekday morning on KUAF from 5 to 9.
This is Reflections in Black, and I'm your host, Raven Cook. Reflections in Black is a segment dedicated to exploring the legacy of Black Americans in the United States and around the globe. Reflections in Black also provides resources for understanding and hope for all people. I believe unconditionally in the ability of people to respond when they are told truth. These words are from the legendary Septima P. Clark. Septima P. Clark was born on May 3, 1898, in Charleston, South Carolina. The second of eight children born to formerly enslaved parents, Clark often showcased her leadership quality by taking care of her younger siblings. A young Septima Clark would go on to begin her education at Avery Normal School, where she would excel and be encouraged to apply to Fisk University. Unfortunately, her parents were unable to afford tuition. Nevertheless, Clark continued. While Black teachers were forbidden from teaching in Charleston in the early 20th century, Clark was able to secure employment in local communities. And once she found a teaching job, she joined the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. In 1920, Clark's involvement in the NAACP would lead her to work with the Charleston chapter in the successful effort to dismantle the law forbidding Black teachers from working in the area. The second major campaign that Clark undertook was an effort with the NAACP to secure equal pay for teachers while living in Columbia, South Carolina. The NAACP would send their newest lawyer, Thurgood Marshall, to argue the case. In 1954, the same year as the Brown versus Board of Education decision, the South Carolina legislature created legislation that barred teachers from belonging to the NAACP. Septima P. Clark refused to leave the organization and was fired with only 4 years left until she was able to retire. Despite the unjust law, the Highlander Folk School, founded by Miles Horton in Tennessee, a center devoted to planning for both Black and white activists, hired Septima P. Clark as director of education in 1956. Clark would teach workshops that would be attended by civil rights icons like Rosa Parks, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Reverend Ralph Abernathy, and many others. Septima P. Clark would influence several ministers and community leaders throughout the South to build citizenship schools and would train 82 teachers for service. In 1959, Tennessee State Police raided the Highlander Folk School to find evidence to shut the school down. Understanding the reality of the school potentially being shut down, the founder, Miles Horton, worked with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to move the school's citizenship program efforts to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SCLC. The SCLC acted as a political arm for the churches during the civil rights movement. Clark moved to Georgia and continued teaching with her over 40 years of experience. In 1962, Clark's Citizenship Project was rolled into the Voter Education Project with four other civil rights organizations. And in 1965, the Voting Rights Act was passed, leading to numerous African Americans being elected to political office. Clark was also committed to women's rights, noting, "Many people think that the women's liberation movement came out of the civil rights movement. But the women's liberation movement started quite a number of years before the civil rights movement." In stories, you mostly hear about the Black ministers, but if you talk about the women who were there, you'll hear another story. I think the movement would never have taken off if some women hadn't started to speak up. I had to learn myself, so I know what a struggle it was. Clark retired from the SCLC in 1970 and was honored with numerous awards, including the 1987 American Book Award for her second autobiography, Ready From Within. Clark's life of service would end December 15, 1987. Today, however, Clark is known as the Queen Mother of the Civil Rights Movement, and her legacy lives on in all those who hear her biography and push for truth and justice.
Reflections in Black is a production of KUAF Public Radio. You can hear weekly segments on Ozarks at Large, and you can learn more about this series online at KUAF.com. Just search for Reflections in Black.
Happy Wednesday. This is Ozarks at Large. Magic of Machines is the latest album from the Crumbs, and Saturday, the Fort Smith Bass Band will celebrate their new project with a concert at Prairie Street Live. Jeff Schultes and Brandon Patterson, two members of the group, met in Patterson's backyard at sunset last week to speak via Zoom with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Schultes says it's been a while since their last project, so it was time to record another album.
It's just like a collaboration of songs that we've, you know, we're always writing songs. So it was time. The last album we did was about 3 years ago, so it was time to try to record some more. So that's what we did.
We started the songs actually at a studio, Smith Tracks. And then right about the beginning of the pandemic, we had just started recording at Soul. We had, what, one session down?
Yeah, Soul Studios in Fort Smith is where we kind of restarted the project. And it was right before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then we had to put it on hold for, I think we started back up. We did our first session in maybe like January.
Yeah.
January, February, and then we had to pause, and we picked it back up around
on
July
March 17th. We did one that was the
week March 17th,
and then we stopped until July.
Stopped until July, yeah. And then we just finished recording probably around August, September, mm-hmm. and then we just been kind of doing the final cuts and the mastering and everything. So,
and picking the order was my favorite part.
Well, what's so important about the order?
I don't know. But I like to think of it as like if you're going to go on a road trip and you want to listen to the whole record, you just want the songs to be in the right order for a good, I don't know.
Did good you think flow. About that? Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. You know, you want a good flow when you're listening to a record. So
I actually love that you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about the first song on the album, All Over Everywhere. I wanted to know exactly why you picked that one to be the first one on the album.
Well, that one, we loved the beginning. We had a friend of ours named Tom Ware who played slide guitar on that one for us. And he's got this really cool part that he does throughout the song. And the engineer, Anton, he kind of played with it a little bit and it kind of hits you right in the beginning. He plays the hook of the song. And so we just thought that would be a really good sort of kick off to the album, and it's got kind of a nice easy melody and pace to it, so good intro song.
And it's traveling music. It sounds like you're getting in the car going for a
it's
drive.
True. I can feel it in the air all over everywhere. Must be something in the water, I swear.
Couple more songs in, we have Laundromat. I don't know if a song can be about heartache can be fun, but I felt like it was. it was a really playful take on someone leaving you at the laundromat. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is kind of a breakup song, you're right. That song, my dad had a few years ago, my dad had written down on a cocktail napkin when he saw us play one time, he wrote, "She tore my heart right out of my body and stomped that sucker flat." And he like put it in the tip jar and he said, "You guys need to make that into a song." Well, we sat on it forever for years. And then I kind of revisited it and ended up writing the song. It's about working at a laundromat, and being in college, and it's in, work in the 90s, you know, before they built the tunnel from Fort Smith to Fayetteville. So there's a little bit of history there on it. But
it was the industrial laundromat in Fort Smith, right? Is that where you worked? Are you the guy in the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah. And then anyway, so Dave, our guitar player, he is a jazz guitarist. And he had, I wrote the song as just kind of a folky sort of song. And he wrote like a jazz guitar head over the chords. He thought it fit really well. And so we combined all that together, my dad's napkin and my little song and Dave's guitar part. And we sort of, and that's what it became. So we really loved the track. We think it's a good one. We love that one. So.
And we still have the napkin.
You still have the napkin.
Oh, yeah.
She's up on the hill and I'm down in the fort. They're gonna build a tunnel one day. She's having brunch and I'm driving my Escort. Working for an honest pay. I'm working for an honest pay. We gotta fill them cans and load that truck. Or Wimpy's gonna lose his cool. Been sweating all summer down on my luck. I think I better stay in school. Think I better stay in school. Stole my heart right out of my chest. Stomp that sucker fat. She's gone with her boyfriend in Budapest. Looking at the laundromat. She left me working at the laundromat.
I love the... that you explained the tunnel comment, because I heard it in the song and I was wondering about that, because I'm like, well, there is a tunnel now. And I, what's been
really... But not when Jeff was in college.
Yes. So I appreciate the explanation. And what I noticed listening to the songs you sent me is that there are these mentions of places in Arkansas, like the tunnel or like Steel Creek, things like that. Was that intentional? You know, how did you decide to actually use real places in your songs?
Yeah, well, good question. I think that's what all songwriters do, I think, is you sing about, you know, your life and your experiences. And a lot of that is just like around us in this state, you know.
Yeah.
There's just so much to sing and write about.
Just happen to live around here, I guess.
And do you guys personally spend a lot of time outdoors? Because there was a bit of imagery about trees and the stars and the creek. And I mean, all very lovely things.
We did all that before we had kids all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that first song, yeah, All Over Everywhere, the one you're referencing, it's about beyond the Buffalo River. So, you know, that's definitely a lot of imagery in that song for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Tree, where we talk about sitting under the tree.
That's right. Tree is a song that it's one of those songs that's been in our set list for like so many years. And we it was a song written by a friend of mine originally named Joel Pelfrey. He had written the chorus so long ago. It was probably to a different chord progression and a different melody altogether. But the song has sort of like evolved over the years, and I wrote some more verses to it, and then we started performing it. And it's just one of those ones that just always stayed in the set list over the years. Like, we just love to play it. It's just a fun, feel-good song.
Shady Groove? Was it a Shady Groove song?
Yeah, it was an old Shady Groove song. We just, any bands we've been in, we always played that song. And so we really wanted to record it on the last record, but it didn't make it. And so we just knew we had to get it on this one, and we did. And I think the recording turned out really well. There's a video of the performance on our Facebook page, which is, it turned out really cool, that Grant at Soul Studios did for us. So,
did the song change at all when you went into the recording studio? I think I heard an organ on there.
Yeah.
And we added a lot. We added fiddle. I think, is there steel on that one too?
Maybe there. I think just keyboard and fiddle on that one. But yeah, it did sort of change a little bit. But if you heard us play it just as a three piece
at the bar,
you would hear
it sound pretty much like that without all the extras. But
yeah. It stays true to form.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was thinking. It was you guys, but then there was just a little extra, and I wondered if that you had some fun when you went into the studio adding.
Yeah, we had so many guests. That should be, if you can remember everybody, Jeff, but we had some really spectacular people help us do this. That I don't know how we lucked into it, but Tom Ware, Gary Hutchison, help me out, Tabitha Graves,
Jarvis Holloway, Nick McFarland,
Jeremy Trobaugh on drums.
And but yes, like Brandon's saying, we had a lot of awesome local musicians help us out. So,
and the guys at Soul Studios were, you know,
they were fantastic,
very instrumental. Yes.
Sitting on a rock under a tree, it could be you or it could be me. The sky is blue, the sea is green, like it's made just for a king. I'm feeling kind of blue myself today. I got some green I could pass a day. I feel all right in my dreams. I feel all right, or so it seems.
So the result is this new album, 10 songs, called Magic of Machines. Tell me about the title.
Okay, this is good.
it's from one of the songs on the record. It's, I think it's towards the end. It's called Odyssey.
Yeah, that's an old song from Shady Groove, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And
but that lyric from that song got included in the song Fingers Bled.
Yes, from our first album.
Second album.
Our second album, yes.
Yeah, so that phrase has followed us around, and then we decided to put both of those. Well, we did Fingers Bled on the last record, Odyssey on this one, and it ties in with the cover art, actually. The reason it's a good title. Because yes. My 12-year-old, or my daughter, Hannah Patterson, who was 12 at the time, designed, it's a picture, it looks like a human child in a chair, but she's removing her face to reveal that she is not totally human. And we just thought Magic of Machines would fit with that art pretty well.
Yeah, it's pretty great art. She did a really nice job.
I will tell her you said so. Thank you.
Please do. Please do. I really like that. And people will get to have a little piece of that for themselves, because you're actually producing a tangible CD that people can get their hands on, correct?
Yeah.
They may have no way to actually play it, but they'll at least
Toaster,
have it.
Frisbee.
And we're going to give them out for free at our release party at Prairie Street Live next week. So if you come buy a ticket, you'll at least go home with a commemorative CD that you may not be able to play.
No, that's great. Tell me more about the release party. Will you have an opening act?
It's at it's on the 14th of this month, November, at Prairie Street Live and in Fayetteville. And Deepwood Media is going to live stream it from our Facebook page. So Jackson and all the crew there are really, really good at it. And so we're excited. It's going to be fun.
I don't think we have an opener, do we?
No opener. It's just going to be us. And hopefully the weather will be not too chilly. So, and it's their last one of the season. So November 14th will be, I think, is going to be their last one until spring. So
closing it out.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Congratulations on the new album, and I hope the release goes well. And thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us about it.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Anytime.
That was Jeff Schultes and Brandon Patterson, two members of the Crumbs. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda last week. The album release party begins at 7 Saturday night at Prairie Street Live in Fayetteville. Tickets are $10 in advance or $15 at the door. The Crumbs are also scheduled to perform at the Fort Smith Symphony's concert December 5th. More information available at facebook.com/thecrumbsmusic.
Support for KUAF comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, now featuring healthcare and insurance, the area's largest hospitals, plus local business news from Northwest Arkansas. Subscriptions and more information available at 725-0394 or NWABusinessJournal.com. 2021 gift memberships to the Scott Family Amazium are now available. Amazium members can explore interactive experiences in the arts and sciences throughout the year with special hours and a variety of membership benefits. More information available at Amazium.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. In honor of Veterans Day today, 60 members of the new Arkansas chapter of the Farmer Veteran Coalition met for the first time, along with Arkansas Department of Agriculture agents in Searcy. Chapter President Michael Sparks is a longtime active Guard and Reserve soldier with the Arkansas National Guard.
We actually started this journey about a year and a half ago when we met with the national organization as individuals, and then we met again after some interest was generated in September, which we selected a chapter organization committee, and we went through the process of incorporating, and we were officially recognized in July. Our mission is to reach veterans in Arkansas and connect them with farmers and other veteran farmers with information, resources, and connect them to the agriculture community and what they have to offer.
Sparks was raised on an East Arkansas farm where his family cultivated rice, wheat, and milo. As a farmer and veteran, he signed on to organize a state chapter, the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which formalized last summer and counts more than 400 members.
Our focus right now is connecting the Arkansas State Chapter with all of those that have officially signed up to be a member of Farmer Veteran Coalition. That is part of the reason we're having this event, is to get some exposure and bring that membership under our umbrella in order to get them active in our state chapter.
5 years ago, the Arkansas Department of Agriculture adopted the national Homegrown by Heroes label. It enables farmers who are U.S. military veterans to market their local agricultural products under that brand.
That brand or that sticker or that label, whichever way that you choose to identify you as a veteran farmer, gives the public, first of all, the confidence to know that this is grown by someone that has been sacrificing their life for the American people for any number of years. So that same level of trust, we hope, is transferred in that label. We're proud of that label. It says a lot in just a little, a picture says 1,000 words. So we want that to be recognized and the public to choose our products because, number one, they know that they're getting something that's genuine and they're also helping a veteran out. And in some cases, this program and the connections and networking is going to be what stands in the gap to hopefully help some of them choose not to take their own life. And there's many stories of how that connection with agriculture has been what has soothed their soul.
If you'd like to know more, you can send an email to arkansas@farmvetco.org. There's also a Farmer Veteran Coalition presence on Facebook, or you can call Michael Sparks at area code 501-593-9631. You can find all of those contacts at ozarksatlarge.com.
For the Central Arkansas Library System, I'm Mark Chris with an Encyclopedia of Arkansas Minute. Turkey hunters across the United States owe a vote of thanks to a 19th century Arkansas inventor. Henry C. Gibson was born on September 18, 1848, near Dardanelle. A farmer and owner of the Western Arkansas Hedge and Wire Fence Company, he created the Gibson Turkey Box, which was granted a patent on January 5, 1897. The first patent awarded for a box-style turkey call. He shared the patent with John Budde of Arkadelphia, who likely financed operations and helped market the device. The one-piece turkey call was 10 inches long, 1 1/4 inches wide, and 2 1/2 inches deep, with a lid attached by a pivot screw that allowed it to be scraped along the main box. The Gibson Turkey Box was produced well into the 20th century, with advertisements appearing as late as 1921. Gibson's innovative design is still followed by modern turkey hunters and turkey call makers. Henry Gibson died on May 4, 1930, and is buried in Little Rock's Roselawn Memorial Park. To learn more, visit encyclopediaofarkansas.net.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me on my front porch on Mount Sequoia is Catherine Childs, our militant grammarian. We are socially distanced as the pandemic continues, but that's no reason to not talk about words and language.
Not at all. Yabba-dabba-doo.
Fred Flintstone.
We're going to talk about words and phrases that have become popular through television shows.
I have been studying for this since I was 5 years old. I will be so disappointed if I don't do well with this.
WordGenius.com put these together.
Okay.
I'll give you the word or phrase. You tell me where it came from and what it means.
All right.
Bazinga.
That's more recent. It's a situation comedy. It's that one with the guys who are smart. Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And it means fantastic.
Nope.
Oh, see, I've never seen the show.
Who says it?
The guy who is old Sheldon? Sheldon?
Yeah. Sheldon.
Jim Parsons is the actor.
Jim Parsons, yeah. And he uses this to cap off his jokes or pranks. It's like gotcha.
Oh, so it's like an exclamation point.
Oh, no, it's like gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay.
It comes from the word zing with some pizzazz.
Gotcha. Okay.
Marsha.
From the Brady Bunch.
And so who said it, and who was she talking about?
I think it was Jan, the middle daughter, who said it about Marsha, and she was just exasperated with Marsha. Marsha was always the one who was the most popular and got away.
Yes. The Gridiron had a good take on the phrase a few years ago, Russia. Okay, it's going to be legend, wait for it, dairy. See, I've only seen this in reruns occasionally.
I don't know.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Doogie Howser, or
no, you really you studied a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, so How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, his womanizing city slicker Barney was always up for creating a good time on How I Met Your Mother. He also said, "Suit up."
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. How you doing,
Joey from Friends?
Mm-hmm. He was full of catchphrases. Oh, Friends was full of catchphrases and memorable moments. But Matt LeBlanc's lovable flirt, Joey Tribbiani's New York machismo-loaded pickup line was possibly the best known. What you talking about, Willis?
That was Gary Coleman on Different Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying it to his brother, played by Todd Bridges. And it was whenever something had been said that he didn't believe or caught him by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't watch it.
Sorry, to go into TV guide mode there.
In the middle of this, I kind of dropped out. I know a lot of them, but not all of them.
Steve and PJ Hrabowski. Of course, PJ was a longtime classical music host on KUF, now lives in Silver City, New Mexico. But what many people may not know, that the P in PJ stood for Phyllis. And so Steve, her husband, would always say, "What you talking about, Phyllis?"
That's great.
Yeah.
How rude. Did you watch Full House?
I did not.
I didn't either. This one is middle sister Stephanie's sassy declaration of universal rudeness.
Okay. Okay.
Did I do that?
Oh, there's another show I didn't watch, but I know from it's Urkel on Family Ties. Family Matters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jaleel White became a staple on the sitcom based on his performance, although he was not meant to be a regular.
Huh.
And so did his catchphrase, often uttered after yet another disastrous mishap.
And I think he usually delivered it in a high-pitched manner. Yeah. Did I do that? Something
oh,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Well, he did everything in a high-pitched manner.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Now we're back to ones I know.
Okay.
Yada, yada, yada.
Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Elaine Benes, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and it was that famous episode where did she sleep with him? Did she not? And, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I think maybe one of Jerry's girlfriends also in that episode was saying
Joey?
It. One of Jerry's.
Jerry's
girlfriend.
I think they were discussing whether yada, yada means, you know, is an insult or not.
Right.
But the part I loved about it was she said, "We went out, to eat. I had the lobster bisque. And we went back to his apartment and yada, yada, you know." And they said, "But you yada, yada'd the best part." She says, "No, I mentioned the bisque."
Yes. Yes. Right.
Okay. Let's see if I can pronounce this correctly.
All right.
Duh.
Don't.
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 Okay.
Homer Simpson.
Mm-hmm. It's gone down in the history books as one of television's greatest expectations. The Tribe Has Spoken.
I think that's from Survivor.
It is.
Yes.
I've
and you've been voted off.
Every.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And it's still on, right?
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Like, I don't know how. It's an incredible number of years. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Like maybe 17
something
or
like
something.
That, yeah.
It's crazy, but I love it.
It's SVU territory.
It's what?
That show Law & Order SVU has been on for like
18
years or something.
Mm-hmm. That makes me too sad. I don't want that.
No.
Come on down.
Oh, The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. How long has that been on?
Oh, a long time, because Bob Barker was a young guy when it started, and he's been off of it. Drew Carey's been the host for a long time. I don't know, 30 years?
40.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it was the thing was most, the phrase was most famously uttered by?
Rod Roddy?
No.
Give me the initials.
J-O.
Johnny Owens? No.
Johnny's right.
Johnny Olson.
Yeah.
Johnny Olson.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire generation from my age, generations, that you knew if you were sick and had to stay home from school, you got to watch The Price is Right, and you really hope they played Plinko. That one where the thing goes down.
Yeah.
Or Mountain Climber. But anyway, that's an institution, that show.
Oh, yeah, it is, for sure. Okay, Kyle, rapid fire.
Oh, okay.
And these are some of these are really from the past. Here.
Okay.
Baby, You're the Greatest.
Jackie Gleason on Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm. And Ralph to Alice, right?
Yeah.
Who Loves You, Baby?
Tell Us of Alice's Kojak.
Mm-hmm. Dynamite.
Jimmy Walker on Good Times.
Mm-hmm. Kiss My Grits.
That was Flo on the show Alice. Huh? She's played by Polly Holiday.
Who is?
Flo.
I know. Oh, okay.
Polly Holiday is the actor's name.
You said it like it was somebody I should know or something. I mean,
well, she
like
was Flo.
You came from Fayetteville or something.
No. She was Flo.
Well, personally, Kyle, I prefer, and that's the way it is.
Lily Tomlin laughing.
Well, it could be, but before that.
Oh.
A revered newsman.
Oh, Walter Cronkite?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
That's how he closed his nightly
right.
broadcast.
Okay. Catherine Schultz is our militant grammarian. That's right.
Tomorrow's Ozarks at Large, the Siloam Springs School District is having to alter the way they teach as the pandemic continues. We'll have more about that, plus this week's new editions of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report with Paul Gatling and Sound Perimeter with Leah Uribe. All of that and more at noon and 7 tomorrow on 91.3 KUAF. And you can stay up to date with Ozarks at Large in many ways, even if you can't be with us at noon and 7. We're available via your smart speaker. Just ask that smart speaker to play Ozarks at Large to hear the most recent edition of our daily show. You can also subscribe to our free podcast. It's available at all the major familiar podcast distributors. And our free daily email newsletter delivers links to each weekday show stories. You can receive that free email by signing up at KUAF.com. And there is always OzarksAtLarge.com to see and hear recent stories, as well as obtain links connected to those stories. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Altus. 91.3 KUAF is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. Timothy Dennis produced today's show, masked and inside the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio. Contributors to our show included Antoinette Grajeda, Susanna Sitek, who provided the reporting on the state's assistance to renters affected by the pandemic, and Jacqueline Froelich, who delivered the information regarding the Arkansas chapter of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. Our militant grammarian is Catherine Schultz, and the Encyclopedia of Arkansas Minute, produced by Mark Chris. Mark is also the editor of the recent book, The War at Home, Perspectives on the Arkansas Experience During World War I, published by the University of Arkansas Press. Our show's theme is titled First Hurrah. It is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Daryl is often found every afternoon around 4 our time performing at his Facebook and Instagram feeds. All right, Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Thank you for your continued support of your public radio station. If you'd like to support us right now, you can go to supportkuaf.com. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for being with us.